नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
They are one of the most important verses of the fifth chapter. Eighth and the ninth verse of fifth chapter. At least we should be able to recollect a few points before we go ahead with the tenth verse, because these two are very important verses. What were they discussing about? Ninth verse? Eighth verse? Eighth and ninth verse? Yes? Yoga? Yeah. Before that, we should know that these two verses talk about a yogi in the yoga ruda stage. So there are two stages of yoga: yoga ruruksha and yoga ruda. Yoga ruruksha is a practitioner, like apprentice, and yoga ruda stage is the perfected stage. So in the initial stage of yoga ruda, how does a person see the things of the material world? That we saw in the shloka number 8. What was it? Anybody remembers the shloka? What is it? Jnana vijnana tattatma kutastho vijitendriyaha yoga iti uchyate yogi samalashtrashma kanchanaha. So he sees the pebbles, gold, stone, everything alike. This is his consciousness in the beginning stage of Paramatma realization. And when a yogi realizes Paramatma completely, much deeper realization of Paramatma leads him to still higher stage of Yoga Ruda. In that stage, what does he feel? Sukhran, Mitra, Ari, Udasina. These different people. He sees the Sukhrat, Belvishar, Mitra, the friend. Sukhran, Mitra, Ari means enemy. Udasina, somebody who is indifferent. Bandushu. Pandu means a relative, and sadhu, one who is gently behaved. So in this way, all these different people are seen alike by this kind of yogi. He sees everyone alike. That is a much higher stage. So we are discussing how it is difficult for one to see enemy and friend alike. Whom do we call as enemy in this world? Anybody can say? Who is your enemy? Somebody whom we don't like, okay? You are not liking also has got a reason. Yeah, correct. Anybody who comes in the way of our sense gratification, we call them as our enemy. We want to enjoy something, and if somebody comes in the way, we call them as our enemy. This is the way we define friend and enemy in this world. So this person does not see anybody to be his enemy or anybody to be his friend. That Prahlad Maharaj hated this concept of enemy and friend. Why should we call somebody as our enemy and somebody as our friend? So I think we were discussing a nice incident. How, if that last link is re-established, then we will be able to see everyone as our dear friend. Is it not? You all remember that? What did you say? Now I think everyone will remember this. One old man and young man, we said. So in the same way, real knowledge means to not only know Krishna, to know Krishna and to see everything in relation to him. That is real knowledge. So a advanced devotee not only sees the Lord, he also sees everyone in relation to the Lord. Then he cannot hate anybody. So this stage is considered very difficult. If material things which have no life, it may be little easy for us to see them alike. But the cognizant things, namely the living bodies, they react with us. When you say something, they also react. So it is very difficult to see them alike. That is why after the two shlokas, 8 and 9, 9 is a more advanced stage than the 8. To see different material things alike, and to see different people alike is not very easy. That is why, as we talk about personal management, it is very difficult. You know personal management? Managing men. It's very difficult. Why? Because they are not things. Managing things is much easier. Because things don't have emotions. Things don't have willingness or unwillingness. So they are much easier to manage than men who have the free will to choose to obey you or not obey you. And also they have emotions, so you have to take care of their emotions, isn't it? So, in this way, the yoga ruddha stage is explained in the ninth shloka. Anybody else, anybody wants to say about this? These two verses, which probably many of you may not be able to remember because we heard a few classes ago. Yeah, very good point. Jnana vijnana trittatma. So bookish knowledge is not enough. Mere bookish knowledge. So Prabhupada used to say this, even for chanting. When you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, people chant very fastly. So one has to pay attention to one's chanting of Hare Krishna. One should endeavor to hear the name attentively. Otherwise, you will be like a parrot which is taught to chant Hare Krishna. Then whenever somebody enters, the parrot may chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, it may chant. And it may chant very sweetly. But when somebody catches its throat, what will he say? Kaka, 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 whatever he will say. He forget Hare Krishna that time. So in the same way, when death comes, if we want to call Krishna, Krishna's name feelingly, then we should actually work upon improving our chanting Hare Krishna. It is not a jaw exercise. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, we get a good exercise for the jaw. It's not like that. Nor is it hand warming in winter season. You have a bead bag and you just keep your hand inside. Hare Krishna chanting has to be done with great attention and feeling. One has to endeavor to somehow or other hear the holy name. In the same way, knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam should not remain a bookish knowledge. One has to have realization of what one reads. Actual meaning of realization is that when you have read something, when you go out in the world, you apply it and see how things work. Like you are standing in a traffic signal, you see cars and buses going here and there, people in different modes working. So one should see through the eyes of the shastras how the whole world is set into action. People are running here and there, hankering for so many materialistic things. So always one should remember the import of the shastras while seeing this material world. So one can then get realization. Yeah, what is the difference? Somebody else can say? Jalnagar Prabhu has told a lot of things. Somebody else can say? Right? Yes, that's the difference. Narada Muni, we say. But what kind of Muni is Narada? He is a philosophical speculator because he analyzes scrutinizingly what is given already in the Shastras by Krishna. He does not speculate anything of his own. Whereas ordinary Muni, a mental speculator, what does he do? He uses his own mind to stretch to understand what is what. Very similar to the modern materialistic scientists. They don't refer to God's scriptures, but they try to stretch their mind to the extreme limits and find out what is what. That is mental speculation. So mental speculation will not lead to any end. So one has to keep on struggling with it. Whereas philosophical speculation is considered very good. So one has to analyze philosophically. So amongst the munis, one who is called as a Chittadhir Muni. Who is that? A devotee is called as a Chittadhir Muni. Chittadhir Muni means one whose dhi, or intelligence has become fixed. He is called as a Chittadhir Muni. Fixed in what? Fixed in Krishna's words. Okay. Can you go ahead or anything else? We will see only 10th shloka today. Because 11th onwards, it's a different slot. 11th to 18th, we'll be talking about the basic practices of Ashtanga Yoga. So the 10th shloka talks also about the person in Yoga Ruddha stage. So after saying all this, Krishna here says, Yogi Yunjita Satatam Atmanam Dahasi Stutaha
ఏకాకీయత చిత్తాత్మా నిరాశీర పరిగ్రహ.
ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ దిస్ ఇస్ ఫర్ యోగి ఇన్ ద హైయెస్ట్ స్టేజ్ ద స్టేజ్ ఆఫ్ సమాధి. హౌ షుడ్ ఎ పర్సన్ స్పెండ్? సో 11th ఆన్వర్డ్స్ కృష్ణ విల్ డిస్క్రైబ్ అబౌట్ ద బేసిక్ ప్రాక్టీస్ ఆఫ్ అష్టాంగ యోగ, హౌ టు బిగిన్ ఇట్. వెరస్ హియర్ హీ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్స్ ఆఫ్టర్ హ్యావింగ్ అచీవ్ ద హైయెస్ట్ స్టేజ్ హౌ షుడ్ వన్ లివ్. యోగి యుంజీత సతతం, ఆల్వేస్, నాట్ అకేషనలీ. హీ హాజ్ టు ఆల్వేస్ ప్రాక్టీస్ యుంజీత, మీన్స్ యూ షుడ్ ప్రాక్టీస్ యోగిక్ ప్రాక్టీసెస్. So this may vary from person to person. If it is a Brahmavadi or an impersonalist, they have certain practices like meditation, dhyan. And if he is a aspiring yogi, then a yogi should focus on Paramatma. He should concentrate on his mind on Paramatma. And if he is a Bhakta, then he completely focuses his mind on the personality of Godhead, Lord Shri Krishna. So whatever be their practice, Prabhupada explains the purport, that one should completely focus his life, center his life on the yogic practices. Yogi, yunjita, satatam, always. How? Atmanam, he says, with his body, with his mind, and with his words. He should use everything for practicing this yoga. And he says, rahasi sthitaha. And not only that, ekaki atha chittatma nirashira parigraha. He says, such a yogi should live in seclusion. Ekaki means alone. Ekaki. Rahasi means without any association, correct? What is rahasi? In a secluded place. What is the difference between rahasi and ekaki? Rahasi means one should keep a distance from material objects. That is rahasi. Ekaki means one should not have any company of anybody. One should live alone. Ekaki. Ekaki means alone. So this is the standard. It is said for such ashtanga yogis, they cannot even live with the disciples. Even if they are disciples, they have to live completely alone. So in this way it is said, you should endeavor nirashira parigraha. Two more conditions Krishna says. Nirashir, they should not have any aspirations. Aparigraha, they should not have any possessions. Now, the word rahasi is said that they have to live in seclusion, away from the material world. Like people go to the Himalayas, isn't it? Why do they go to the Himalayas? What's the reason? What will happen if they live in the cities? Yeah, if they come in contact with material objects, naturally their yogic practices can get distracted. Because right from the birth, the living entity has an attachment to the things of the material world. So, as soon as one becomes attached to materialistic things, then one starts increasing his possessions. And the more you increase your possession, what happens? You will see that the hankering for possessing them increases more and more and more. There is no limit to that. So coming in contact with material things itself is considered dangerous for such a yogi. Not only that, he has to live ekaki, alone. Why? Because associating with materialistic people leads to hankering for material objects. You can very easily see that. If you associate with non-devotees, you yourself do not know how you develop a great attraction for materialistic things. Just be in touch with some materialistic people. Over a period of time, this disease will cling to you. You will very easily see that. For example, if a person is living in the congregation of devotees, regularly associating with devotees, you will see that gradually he is becoming detached. Over a period of time, he wears kantimala, he wears tilak, he wears dhoti kurta, Mataji may come in sari, and live a very simple life, and they forget about all the materialistic facilities of the world, and simply become more and more deeply engaged in Krishna's service. So the more we come closer to devotees, the more we become detached from the things of the world and become firmly attached to Krishna's feet. On the other hand, somehow by the arrangement of the will of the providence, if one is put in material association, then by associating with such people, materialistic people, one develops attraction for material objects. And that attraction doesn't remain, then you begin possessing those objects slowly, one by one. And the more you possess, the desire for possessing them increases more and more. So it is actually called as material hankering. The hankering increases more and more. And when this hankering comes in the heart, it is like a disease. It becomes like a disease. Then anybody who has got that disease, it's something like jaundice, as we say. Anything you see looks yellow for you. In the same way, when this disease of material hankering comes, one will become crazy. One will be ready to go to any extent to somehow or other achieve the luxuries of this world. And gradually you will see, one starts forgetting Krishna. As it is said in Bhagavatam, sometimes in the rainy season, in the forest path, you know, that becomes grown up with thick grasses. Completely it is blocked, because the people are not passing by. In the rainy season, generally people don't go out. So the pathway, what happens to the pathway? Gradually it starts completely covered with grasses, fresh green grasses, and in this way the pathway becomes blocked completely. Nobody knows where is that road. In the same way, it is said a brahmana who does not regularly practice his spiritual things, over a period of time, what happens to him? He starts growing in material life and he starts forgetting spiritual life. It's not only for a brahmana, for that matter anybody. So this can be very easily seen. Sometimes we see boys or people, and they come, when they are in good association, they look like devotees. When they go far away, they come, you see long hair, long beard or French beard, you see different things. All these things are newly grown because they are not in assembly of devotees. So they start thinking that we have to live according to the needs of the world. So we have to live like the worldly people. In this way, ekaki is said for such a person, because if you associate non-devotees, the material hankering will increase. And when material hankering increases, he works hard to acquire many material objects. When he gets those material objects, then comes the possessiveness. So these words have a lot of connection. So from, if one is not ekaki, if one is not alone, he associates with non-devotees, then what happens? He possesses material objects and becomes attached to them. Then this nirashit aparigraha, these two conditions cannot be fulfilled. Because nirashi means one should not have any aspiration for materialistic position, post, fame, name, such things. Aparigraha means material possessions. One should not have attraction for them. Earlier, I think we read in the 3rd chapter, 32nd verse, I think, Krishna said, Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. He told Arjuna, Mayi sarvani karmani, he said, my dear Arjuna, all your activities, you renounce them for my pleasure. Sanyasya adhyatma chetasa. With pure spiritual consciousness. And then he said, Nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva divadajvara. He said, Nirashir. Same things he said. Nirashir nirmama. Nirmama means aparigraha. Same thing. Nirashir nirmama. So we find these two words very commonly used in Bhagavad Gita. Many places. Two things Krishna says, Nirashir and Nirmama. Nirashir means one should not have aspiration for material objects. Prabhupada translates here, Nirashir. Without being attracted by anything else. Anything else means other than Krishna. Aparigraha, free from the feeling of possessiveness. So Nirmama means one should not have this mamata, me and mine. Nirashir, Nirmama, Bhutva, Yudhyasa, Yugatajvara. Yugatajvara means one should give up one's laziness. These words have a lot of significance. Because in this world, if you tell someone that you should not have any aspirations, but you should do your work, do you think anybody will do their work? Earlier somewhere I was telling, isn't it? You go to government offices, why do you find nobody in their seats? Most of the seats have only their coats, isn't it? Why you don't find anybody there? What is the reason? Because even if they work hard, no incentive is going to be given to them. Whether you work hard or don't work, the same salary is going to be given to you. And even if you don't work hard, nobody is going to remove you from the post. That assurance is there. So that is why people go for tea and come back after a couple of hours. isn't it? But Krishna here says, Nirashir, don't have any aspiration, but you should work. Not only that, he says, Nirmama, you should not have any desires of possessiveness or, yeah, Parigraha means also possessiveness, proprietorship, as we call it. In a company, even in a private company, if you work, especially if you are very hardworking, after some time they will give you some promotion and you can possess something. In fact, they may make you M2 manager, M1 manager, then they may even make you a branch manager, and they may make you area manager. In this way, you become a bigger and bigger and bigger king in your company, isn't it? So in this way, you can possess more and more. And in fact, they may give you better and better gifts. They may give you individual flat, and then later on they may give you individual bungalow. They may give you a car to take you to company. And instead of sending you by train, they may send you by flight. In this way, your possessions go on increasing as one progresses in his post. But here, if somebody has said, you do your work, but nirmama, you will not possess anything. You do all your work and give the results to me. If somebody said like that, do you think anybody will work? Not only that, Vigatajvara, and you should not be lazy also. Without being lazy, you should work very hard, he says. So this can be done only by a devotee. And that he can do only for Krishna. Because the relationship is one of love. Only when love becomes prominent, such action can be done. You can see this very easily, even in the worldly love. Even amongst people, like even if a child is very heavy, the mother is ready to lift the child. Mother doesn't say, oh, he is so stout, I don't want him. Mother doesn't say that. Because of great love, she may be very skinny and weak, but she is ready to lift a very heavy child out of intense love for the child. Similarly, the son is ready to lift the father's suitcase, although it may be very heavy. Isn't it? Simply out of love. Like Shravanan was lifting his father and mother and this thing, balance, isn't it? He was lifting them, although it may be very heavy and very difficult. So this burden is called as burden of love. It's called as burden of love. One doesn't consider it a burden at all. So when love becomes prominent, one can take this kind of trouble. Nirashi nirmama bhutva yudhyasya vegatajvara. Same thing Krishna says here. Don't have any aspirations. Don't be possessive in this world. When you talk of possessiveness, it doesn't mean one has to become a beggar on the street. It's not that one leaves everything. Like there was one Jain king. Somehow he became very inspired by some saintly person. And then he decided that I am going to leave everything of the world. I am going to become aparigraha. So saying this, what did he do? He accumulated all his wealth, which were in the form of many diamonds and navaratnas in a box, and he climbed on the back of a big elephant and went to the middle of the street and started throwing away all the navaratnas, saying that I am going to renounce the world. I am declaring to the whole world that I am renouncing the world. So in this way he was throwing. And what happened? Naturally all the people in the surrounding area, they came and picked up all the ratnas and they ran away. So in this way people enjoyed all those wealth. And this fellow thought, now I have renounced, but actually anybody who took possession of that, when they engaged in sinful activities, a part of the reaction naturally came to this person also. So this is not the proper way of renouncing the world. When Krishna says aparigraha, he doesn't say that one should leave the world like this. So one should know to whom this property belongs to. One has to know this. Many a times people have a notion that a saintly person means he should not have any possession. Sometimes people are surprised how these people, Harakshana people, are wearing a watch, they use computer, they come in very nice cars, they use mic system, color slide projectors and all this. They are living like worldly people. So when you see a devotee in action and a materialistic person in action, it may apparently look alike. But the action of a devotee is unwinding all his karma gradually and making him free from karma. And the action of a materialist, what happens? That is actually winding up more and more new karma. Just like a projector. You have seen a projector? In projector, one spool is getting unwound while breathing. Another spool is getting wound. In the same way, devotee's past action is getting unwound slowly. Then he is very active. Both the spools are active. Both are revolving. One is getting free from the film, another one is getting more and more film. In this way, a devotee is actually becoming more and more freer as he works for Krishna more. Just see Arjuna himself, how he was so active in the battlefield of Kurukshetra for the pleasure of Krishna. So he wasn't bound. He was actually free, and he went back home, back to Godhead ultimately. In the same way, one should do work and one should learn to utilize all the properties that Krishna has given us in Krishna service. That is actually the meaning of aparigraha. Aparigraha means one should not be possessive. One should not think these things are mine, and one should not become attached to them. Attachment to material things is a sign of great danger. Because the more we become attached to things, the more we will behave in an insane way. We can very easily see that. When a person becomes attached to material things, his speech, his action, you can see so much hankering in his mind for preserving that object and to get more. So also, when Krishna talks of ekaki, being alone, this is explained by Avadhut Brahmana also, the 11th canto. Avadhut Brahmana explains many things about a saintly person. What should a saintly person do? Like if one is saintly, then one should never have any fear. And when a saintly person moves from one place to another place, he should not even know which is the next place that I am going to. He should travel like that. Not only that, he should not make any prior arrangements for his prasad or accommodation before he goes to that place. And not only that, while traveling, he should travel alone. See the conditions. Very dangerous conditions, isn't it? Of course, this is for only a sannyasi, don't worry. It's not for you. You can make arrangements for your prasad. And you go. But this he says for Avadhuta. How a very saintly person should behave. What a lesson? You should not go with anybody. You should travel alone. And also you should not feel any fear. Yeah, you should not be aware of his next destination. And no prasadam is it. You should not make any arrangements for his accommodation or prasad, wherever he is traveling. Not only that, he should be very grave. And he speak very little. He should not speak much. And he should not reveal his mind to anybody. These are all the conditions for a very advanced Avadhuta Brahman. So, in this way he was telling many qualities of a saintly person which are observed in a very evolved stage of spiritual life. So he also said that such a saintly person should live alone. He should not live in a crowded place. So in this connection he told a story. How he learned this particular thing? He learned from a particular guru. He said, one time there was a young girl at a marriageable age, and she was at home, and her parents had gone out somewhere, and she was alone. And some guests had come to see the girl, see the bride for marriage, and she made them sit and offered them proper due respects, and went inside to make some prasad for them. And there was nothing at home, so she took some grains and started beating them. You know, they beat the grains and they make rice out of it so that she can cook. When she was beating the grains, she was having conch shell bangles in her hands, many, many bangles in her hands, and they were all hitting with one another and producing sound. And she was wondering what is to be done, because these guests will come to know that we are very poverty-stricken people, that we are beating the rice to cook rice. So these people should not come to me, otherwise they will not marry me. So then she thought, then she started removing the bangles. And she left only two in this hand and two in the right hand. Then she continued to beat the grains. Still it was producing sound. Then she removed one more from here. Ultimately she left only one here and one here. And then she did her work. So Avadhut Brahman said, from this example, I learnt that as long as one is with many people, then one cannot be peaceful. He said, Vase Bahunam Kalaho, he said. Vase Bahunam Kalaho. When we live with many, many people together, what happens? Kalaho, he said. Kalaha means there is quarrel. Vase Bahunam Kalaho. Bhavet Bharta Dvayorapi, he said. Even if there are two people, suddenly there will be some material talk, there'll be some gossip. So he said, it is best, that is why he said, ek eva vasetasmat kumari ayivakankanaha, he said. Ek eva vasetasmat kumari ayivakankanaha. Just like this kumari was wearing kankana only 1 month, the same day, living alone is the safest thing for such a transcendentalist, for such an avaduta, he said. So, this has to be very carefully understood. Amongst the mental speculators, like jnanis, if you see, we were talking about such a muni. Every muni has his own opinion about religion. If you know the the six darshanas, shad darshan in India, given by Jaimini and different such great sages, all these darshans are talking about the absolute truth in six different directions. They have no similarities. Every one of them is talking about the absolute truth in their own way. Even today there are seminars held all over India in various places about this shad darshan. And many, many people, learned pandits come there to give their arguments and hear this shad darshan. But ultimately this shad darshan is of no use. Why? Because it doesn't bring you to the platform of surrendering to the Supreme Lord Krishna. It is simply an argumentation, vad vivad. There is no end to that. So there is karma mimamsa, which says karma is supreme. And there are people who come to argue how karma is supreme. Karma is even superior to God, according to them. That means you simply go on doing your karma, and the results will come, and you don't have to depend on God. This is their philosophy. So in this way, there are many bogus philosophies, which are maintained and proposed by many munis, many, many so-called sages. And such jnanis can never live together. Can they live together? For example, say 70 of us are here now. If every one of us have our own philosophy, can we stay together? Is it possible? Impossible. It's only a matter of time that there will be a big fight that will be broken out between all the people. Everyone will start fighting with one another. So jnanis generally don't meet each other. That's why they go to Himalayas, Ekantasthan. They cannot live together. Every one of them will go to one nook and corner. They cannot live together. And very soon they will fall down also, because they are living alone. Like Vishwamitra was living alone, he fell down and there was Saubramuni who went underwater. So they will always be looking for such ekanta places. They will go underwater, or they will go to the Gufa, or they will be going to Himalayas, like that. So for them, living alone is very, very essential. But as far as devotees are concerned, Vaishnavas, they don't have to live alone. He explains, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that just like a king's daughter, how will a king's daughter be married? A king's daughter is going to marry a very aristocratic prince, and she will be very beautifully decorated with so many ornaments. She will dress herself with so many nice, beautiful garments and beautiful ornaments and beautiful flowers on her body to approach her aristocratic prince whom she is going to marry in order to seek love from him. In the same way, Bhakti Devi has decorated all of her body with all the beautiful Vaishnavas coming in congregation together. This is how Bhakti Devi ultimately approaches Lord Sri Krishna, to exchange love with him. So this is the explanation of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. So Vaishnavas never need to live alone. They can come together because they have only one common philosophy. Krishna is the master. We all are his servants. So nobody has any opposition to this philosophy. So everyone can come together and they can congregate together. And besides that, anybody who has material aspiration, material hankering, certainly cannot come together. If there are even two people or three people who are material hankering coming together, they will only fight like cats and dogs. Anything, if there is a material tinge, immediately there is going to be quarrel. That is bound to happen. That's why, as he says, even two people, if they come, like that you hear the sound, isn't it? When there are two hands coming together. If there is one hand, how can it produce sound? It cannot, isn't it? So that's why when two people come in this world, immediately we find a fight, immediately, between the two people. So that fight is very obvious as long as people have material hankering. So who are all people having such hankering? Not only those who are hankering for the material objects of this world, those who are aspiring for heavenly planets, even those who want to become God, that is also considered a material hankering. Indra, in his prayers, he tells Krishna that in this world, everyone is working very hard to assume the position of a leader. Everyone is working very hard. And after making hundreds and thousands of repeated attempts to become a leader of society, they miserably fail. And because they fail in such a way, and they are frustrated in their attempt, they simply claim themselves to be God. So only such people call themselves to be God. So there are many people like that. There are many people who have failed to become famous. So what they do ultimately? They declare to the world, I am the Kaliyuga avatar, I have come. I am the Kalki avatar. So they declare to the world like this, and they are going on in the name of God, cheating thousands of people, cheating the masses. So in this way, if one has an aspiration to merge into the Brahman, or to become God, or to be addressed as God, that is also considered a material thing. Because their buddhi is called as Avishuddha buddhi. Vimukta maninaha means one who thinks he is liberated. Vimukta maninaha. Tayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha. Their buddhi is impure, he says. Avishuddha buddhayaha, impure intelligence. So that is also material hankering. But a devotee is free from all hankering. Only a devotee can be truly desireless. Because a devotee not only is free from the materialistic things of the world, he doesn't even aspire to go back to the spiritual world. In fact, he prays that, let me simply serve you birth after birth. There is a wonderful prayer of Kulakshetra, which we all can pray every day. He prays, Mukunda Murdhna Pranipatyayache Bhavantamekantam Yantamartam Agusmatista Charana Aravinde Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. He prays, my dear Lord Mukunda, I bow down at your feet. And I am doing yachana, I am begging at your feet. What am I begging? There is only one thing that I beg from you. Agusmatista Charana Aravinde. Let me never become forgetful of your lotus feet. Bhave Bhave Mestu Bhavat Prasadat. Birth after birth, please give me this one mercy to me. Let me always remember your lotus feet. Let me never forget you. Same way, great acharyas have prayed. Bahirmukha Brahma, Nahimora Ash, Kita Janma Hoy, Yatha Tuyadas. They pray, he prays that Bahirmukha Brahma, Nahimora Ash, he says. I don't want to become the four-headed Brahma and have the intelligence about the entire creation. I don't want to be called as the creator of the world. I don't want to be called as the first and foremost created living being within the entire universe. I don't want to be called as the first preceptor in the disciplic succession. I don't want to be called as the king of all the demigods, who is heading all the demigods whenever there is a cosmic disturbance. I don't want to be such a Brahma. If by becoming such a Brahma, I will forget your lotus feet. So this is the prayer of a devotee. On the other hand, I would like to become a small worm in the stool, worm in the house of a devotee, if I can remember your lotus feet. So this is the aspiration of a devotee. So among such devotees who are so selfless, how can there be fight when they come together? That is why Lord himself says, Naikatpatame Spihyanti Kechin Matpada Seva Virata Madiha Yanyonyato Bhagavata Prasajya Sabadiyante Mamapaurushani. He says, my devotees never aspire to merge into me. Naikatpatam, ekatpata means to merge. My devotees never maintain this envious desire of merging into the Supreme. Naikatpatam ne spahayanti kechin. They don't have such a desire, such a polluted desire. They don't have that, he says. They are simply aspiring for the service of my lotus feet. So such devotees, when they come together in a congregation like we all assemble here every Tuesday, it is considered to be like a beautiful garland. A pole, you can see the creeper going around the pole. In the same way, Radharani is constantly associating with Krishna. And all the leaves in the creeper are compared to the sakis, or the devotees, who are assistants of Radharani. So, as Radharani comes closer to Krishna, all the sakis are also always with Radha and Krishna serving him. In the same way, the assembly of Vaishnavas, they always come and congregate together, they live together, They glorify. He says, Sabha Jayante Mama Paurushani. They always glorify my prowess in congregation. It is never said alone. Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Samvido. It is said, Satam Prasangan Mama Virya Samvido. One should come in the assembly of devotees and Mama Virya Samvido. One should hear about my marvelous acts. By hearing them, one will become purified. So, when we talk of Ekaki, Bhaktivinoda Saraswati explains that a devotee, what is the meaning of a devotee living alone? A devotee should live alone if he has only the company of non-devotees. Then he should live alone. Like you are going to a new place where there is no association of devotees for you. Then the best association is your own bead bag. Have your bead bag, have your small altar and just chant your names and chant a regular Hare Krishna and read Prabhupada's books and don't associate with anyone. If you think you are not strong enough to convert somebody into a devotee, then better you be with yourself. That is the meaning of ekaki for a devotee. So a devotee should never associate with non-devotees. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gave the definition of a Vaishnava, the first thing he said is, what is the definition of a Vaishnava? Asat Sangha Tyag Dei Vaishnava Acharya, he said. Vaishnava means you should give up the association of non-devotees. All of us assembled here, we all have so many old friends in our life. Certainly it may be very difficult for us to give up that friendship. Sometimes when you become Krishna conscious, your old friends come to you and tell you, what is this? Why are you going there? Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? You have become a transformed person now. Come on, you give it up. Come, let's go to movie. Let us be together. See, after all, I am your 10 years friend. I have been with you from your school days. So, every one of us will be put in crossroads where Krishna is going to test us. You want me or you want your friend? Krishna will directly ask you. So you have to make a choice. Most often people fail. They leave Krishna and go to the material contacts, material association. Some people, because of their friend, they have given up Krishna consciousness. They say, oh, I didn't want to displease my friend. Or, ever since I stopped onion garlic, my mother gets fits. She falls faint again. I have to have a big fight with her at home. Why should I quarrel with father and mother? Better be cooperative with them and give up Krishna. People do that actually. So, everyone in this world is going to face, every devotee is going to face this tug of war. You will be pulled between two people. Krishna will pull on one side and material association will pull on other side. So the intelligent person should give up material association. That is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Asat Sangha Tyag, a Vaishnava Acharya, he said. If you really want to be a Vaishnava, you should be ready to give up bad association. Although most of you here are assembled, you all may have to work with materialistic people in companies and in your working place. One should always give association to them. One should never become contaminated by that association. It's very, very risky. In fact, people will even ridicule you. Why are you afraid of us? Why don't you talk to us? We are afraid that we will influence you. But when somebody is diseased, will you not be afraid to go near them? In the same way, you should understand that all those people are diseased people. So if you have the ability to cure them, associate with them by giving them your association. Otherwise, keep a distance. That is actually the meaning of rahasi, ekaki, living alone. And as far as rahasi, the word rahasi is concerned, to keep away from material objects, Prabhupada explains in the last paragraph of this purport very beautifully, how a devotee can live in the midst of hundreds and thousands of material objects and not even get contaminated, even a bit. This is spoken by Navayogendra Sen, the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. How such a great devotee of the Lord, it is said, Grihitva api indriya artan, Grihitva api indriya artan. Indriya artan means vishabhog, material objects. Grihitva means to accept. Even after accepting the sense objects which can be enjoyed by anybody, what is second line? Anybody knows this shloka? Grihitva api indriya artan, yona deshti na kanchati, he says. He doesn't have any aversion for them, he doesn't have any attraction for them. And he also says, Vishnur maya amidam pashyan savai bhagavatottamaha. He sees very clearly that this is Vishnu maya, I should not become trapped by it, but I should take it and use it in Krishna service. Most of the things we use in our day-to-day life are all dangerous things, material things. One can become very proud. By wearing a watch, sometimes people become very proud. Is it not? Sometimes people wear spectacles with a golden frame. And they are very, very conscious of it. How many people are looking at me? Whether people have noticed my golden frame? Are people wearing a new watch always speak like this? You know? They always want to show their watch to everyone. So these are all material things. We become very attached to these things. And we want people to recognize that we are rich or we are great. Is it not? By these things. So as devotees, we also use these things. We may use a car, we may use watch, we may use so many material things in our life. But we should remember this shloka. Vishnur Mayam Idam Pashyan. This is Vishnu Maya. Vishnu Maya is very, very dangerous. It's like dealing with fire. While dealing with fire, when you are lighting up the fire, it can be so helpful in boiling the food. And then you can prepare a nice bhoga and offer it to the Lord. If the fire is very nicely regulated, but if the fire is not regulated, what will happen? It will start burning and bringing out huge flames, and it will even ultimately devour you. And when there are fire accidents, you can see how fastly they move, how fastly they catch things, and they will completely devour everyone around. So the material things are like that. The material world is compared to a blazing fire. So we should be very, very careful when we take material things and use in Krishna service. One may say, why at all should we use material things in Krishna service? Better be aloof. But the nature of a soul is to always be active and be engaged in Krishna service. If one goes to forest like the Himalayas, first of all, that is not practical for everyone. But even if one tries to do that, by leaving aside everything and going to forest and trying to be artificially inactive, that is not our constitutional position. Our nature is to be active. But our nature is to be spiritually active. In the spiritual world, everyone is very active. Everyone in the spiritual world, there are gopis making garlands, there are gopis making boiling milk for Krishna, making butter for Krishna. There are cowherd men who are taking care of the cows, taking care of the fields. All these things are going on very actively in the spiritual world. While remembering Krishna, they are doing all these activities. So now, after having come to this world, if we try to go to seclusion, we cannot be remaining in seclusion. We have to be active. The purpose of sending us to this world is to again remind us that we should give up our mischief, give up our disobedience to God, and become spiritually active. Just like a school child in the class, sometimes teacher becomes very angry with a mischievous child. Teacher may say, get out, go and kneel down. Teacher says to the child, so what is the purpose of your kneel down? Yeah? So that the child may give up the mischievous activity and then come back to the class and engage in studies and doing its activities. So we have been performing spiritual activity when we were in the spiritual world. Now we have come to this world and we are active. But how are we active? Materially active. Very unfortunately. So in spiritual world we have spiritual relationships. Here we have material relationships. So we have material activity and material relationships. So how can we transform these material activities and material relationships into spiritual activities and relationships? How can it be done? So for that we have to learn the art of using everything in Krishna's service very carefully. Then gradually our inner nature will come out. The inner nature of the Atma will come out, and one will gradually realize that all these things is Vishnu Maya and nothing is meant for my enjoyment. Even as a devotee, in the neophyte stage, when a devotee is sincerely serving Krishna, so many material possessions will be sent to him by Krishna. So many things will come. People will come and give a lot of money, people will give possessions, everything will come. But a devotee thinks that these are meant for my enjoyment, he will be finished. That's the reason many people fall down. Because they think it is meant for my enjoyment. So devotee should be very, very careful not to enjoy anything for oneself. But always take everything and use it in Krishna's service. In that way we can become nirashir and aparigraha. So this is the way devotee can engage. Last paragraph, I will just read a few sentences from Prabhupada's purport. A Krishna conscious person well knows that everything belongs to Krishna, and thus he is always free from feelings of personal possession. As such, he has no hankering for anything on his own personal account. He knows how to accept things in favor of Krishna consciousness and how to reject things unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. He is always aloof from material things because he is always transcendental. A and he is always alone, having nothing to do with persons not in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, a person in Krishna consciousness is the perfect yogi. So Prabhupada explains how this shloka fits in very nicely for a Krishna conscious yogi. So only a devotee can be a complete yogi, because a tyagi is one who does not touch the things of the world. A bhogi is one who takes the things of the world and enjoys. Whereas a bhakta knows that the things of the world are not to be renounced, the things of the world are not to be enjoyed, but all the things of the world should be engaged in Krishna's service. So that is a complete understanding of spiritual life. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Actually, when we talk of disciplic succession, there are faithful disciples who propagate the succession. It goes on and on. Even during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's period, there were followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like we call them as Gauranga Nagari or Aula Baula, we call them. They all are actually deviant sects. Like Advaita Acharya's descendant, some of them became deviant. Even Advaita Acharya's son, he became deviant. So they became a deviant sect. He proclaimed that Advaita Acharya is independent of Lord Chaitanya. And he is a separate tree, he said. So because of that concoction, gradually that branch of Chaitanya tree dried up. So in that way we can see that even Prabhupada had many disciples, there is a possibility that some of them become deviants. When they become deviant, gradually it is like a branch which is amputated from a tree. What will happen to the branch? Sooner or later it will dry up. Maybe 1, 2, 3 generations may go, and after that they will dry up. It won't continue. But the mainstream, disciplic succession, that is going on and on. That will never stop. Any other questions? Yeah? Yeah, that is a good question. Mataji is asking, some people leave Krishna to maintain their old friendship with their friends. And I was suggesting that we should be ready to give up friendship to come to Krishna. So Mataji is asking, why not have both together, Krishna as well as the friends? Yeah, that's a very wonderful thing. It has happened in some people's lives, that their school friends, isn't it? Make them devotees, yeah. So we can try to make them devotees, if we can. If they become devotees, that's very wonderful. But we cannot make a horse drink water. Sometimes we cannot even change our own near and dear ones. No matter how much you push them to become devotees, you don't see any change. They remain very detached from you. Only for material things they come. I have seen materialistic people living in the heart of the assembly of devotees. But it's a great surprise. Even after 10 years, you don't see any change in them. Very surprising. So we can derive inspiration from them, how we should be detached from the material things. So what can be done with such people? So we can try our best. We can chant one now. Brahmavadi, yeah. Those who are aspiring to reach Brahman, they also have a certain practice. And then those who are Paramatmavadis, they also have meditation. And bhaktas, they have the process of devotional service. So all three of them are called as a yogi here. Yogi injita satatam. They always should be engaged in yoga practice. So next week is beginning. Krishna is beginning here. Shushodeshe Pratishtapya. From there we will see how difficult is the process of Ashtanga yoga. Krishna will explain in the few shlokas. Later on, concluding that the process of bhakti is the supreme. Yeah? Reveal his mind. Yeah. Actually, such a sannyasi is supposed to have friendship only with God, with nobody else. Generally, this is starting of a vairagi or a sannyasi like Avadhuta Brahman. Such people cannot be found. It's almost Nil you can say, it's very rare to find. That is why in Sannyasa there are four stages. Kutichaka, Bhagavadaka, Parivrajakacharya and Paramahams. So this is actually the Paramahams Avastha. The Navayogendras were all Paramahamsas. They were like this only. Navayogendras. And Avadhut Brahmana coming in the 11th canto. And Avadhut Brahmana coming in the 7th canto Srimad Bhagavatam. They were all like that. Yeah, Adapana Prabhu is asking, amongst devotees you said there are no clashes. But sometimes you see devotees have difference of opinions. So what should be done? Yes, it is very likely that there are difference of opinions between devotees because every one of us is an individual. This is a proof that we are individuals. Because we have individual tastes and your individual opinions, it's very much possible. But the Siddhanta does not change. The Siddhanta is the same. See, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Is there any devotee having a different opinion? We are servants of Krishna. Is there any devotee having a different opinion? It's not possible. So in Siddhanta cannot change. But in the ways of serving Krishna, different devotees can have different opinions. How best can Krishna be served? One devotee may say one thing, another devotee may say another thing according to his perception. That is why amongst devotees also we should have some consideration. Like we say considerate. Considerate means we should learn to be open-minded to hear what the other person has got to say, whether it carries some meaning. And also, in spiritual life there could be more than one superlative. So if you think your way is the best way, there could be another devotee who can also do the same service in the best way possible. So there are not one, two, there are hundreds and thousands of bests in the spiritual world. So that is why devotee never criticizes another devotee, thinking that, you know, his way is inferior, my way is superior. No.